fact is that Al-Nusra is either going to fade into oblivion with all of its jihadists joining the Islamic State, or the leader of Al-Nusra is going to do this in a manner that expedites the process and just say that I pledge my allegiance to the Islamic State. One of the two. But the fact is that Al-Nusra is hemorrhaging influence and Mujahideen. Nusra, which has been trying with its allies to remove its name from the UN terrorist list. Now, this is a group that went into Christian communities and did the same thing the Islamic State did. Either convert or die. It went into Christian communities and raped the nuns. Blew up the churches. The churches that it didn't burn down in Syria, it used as its militant headquarters. It removed all dignity from anyone who wasn't a Sunni Muslim, so that they became a demeaning, having no rights. They were ruthless. They were terrorists. They used terrorist tactics routinely in their fight against the Assad regime. There's really no difference, except for the fact that in Iraq, there are more journalists than there were in Syria, documenting more of this, and people were paying attention to it. Because America squandered $2 or 3 trillion and 6 or 7,000 lives of its service members in Iraq, people were paying more attention to Iraq than they were in Syria. Otherwise, there's really no difference between the two. One group's not more ruthless than the other. The same. Same ideology. It's all fundamentalist Islam. And by the way, I listened to Netanyahu's speech before the United Nations. And normally I'm a Netanyahu fan, but come on, pal. That's stupid. When you say that they are not militant, and it's not Islamic, it's militant Islamic. Or I think his exact quote, it's not militant, it's not Islam, it's militant Islam. If it's not militant, then it cannot be militant Islam. If it's not Islam, it cannot be militant Islam. If it is militant Islam, it is both militant and Islam. Come on. Stop. You know, this whole idea of, oh boy, you can't say it's Islamic. You can't condemn a religion. So, you know, you better put qualifiers in there. Because if you don't put qualifiers in there, they're going to label you a nutcase. I mean, the truth is now so unpopular that no one wants to say it. And political correctness has so damned the conversation that the world is having that no one's willing to be correct anymore. Isn't that amazing? That this thing called political correctness has changed the political dialogue in the world so that no one is correct anymore. Any wonder that we're being played for fools, that we are absolutely dying as a country, that the West is succumbing to its own stupidity? Nusra, which has been trying with its allies to remove its name for the United States from the UN terrorist list, was taken by surprise when the U.S.-led coalition warplanes bombed several of its positions near Aleppo in the Idlib province. That was amazingly stupid of America. I mean, just amazingly stupid. The only challenge, the only threat to the Islamic State was al-Nusra. Now, I'm telling you, it wouldn't have lasted very much longer. But that was it. And you go bomb al-Nusra? Well, moronic. Oh, and the U.S. says, in fact, Katie Kirk now is a journalist for Yahoo. And she says, oh, now I get it, under the headline, now I get it. Somebody in the Pentagon said that the Courtesan Group, which is nothing more than some 25 to 30 members of al-Nusra, that came from the battle, the Mujahideen effort in Afghanistan, were part of the Afghanistan Mujahideen effort, as were so many of the of those who engage now, even Syria and Iraq. And that they were designing cell phone bombs and cosmetic bombs, and that they were going to deploy them in the United States and Europe. I mean, it's unbelievably stupid. In the greater scheme of things, 25 to 30 Mujahideen are completely irrelevant. You only make them relevant when you bomb them. Second, they were absolutely part of Nusra, and by bombing Nusra, you create a unison, a unification of Nusra and the Islamic State, making the Islamic State ever stronger. But more important than all of that is this fixation on these little devices. The amount of damage that a Muslim jihadist can do with a cell phone bomb is so irrelevant that it isn't worth even thwarting. The world's a dangerous place. People die all the time. Hundreds of thousands of people die every day. The world's a dangerous place. We can't stop idiots from being idiots. And to deploy billions of dollars worth of resources to try to stop an insignificant attack with a cell phone bomb is an utter and complete waste of time. And this cosmetic bomb, it was designed by Ramzi Youssef, who is now underground in a supermax prison, I think in Kansas, either that or Colorado. I think in Kansas, for the first bombing of the World Trade Center, where he used the old-fashioned petrol bombs. And he came up with that plot, Bonjinko, I think was the name that he used, and deployed it on an aircraft crossing the Pacific Ocean, and I think killed one person. And it was just deemed that, the whole idea was they were going to do it in mass, and they were going to bring down like 10 airplanes in one day that were flying into the United States from Europe, and they tested it in a flight that was headed to Japan. They killed one person. The plan was scrapped. Then somebody started talking about how nifty the plan was in Europe, and of course then the people around the world were precluded from carrying their cosmetics on airplanes. Been there, done that. Doesn't work. Never going to be a significant issue. If you had a bunch of guys that were studying as Muslims how to develop cosmetic bombs and cell phone bombs, they were never going to be a meaningful threat. And the last threat of hijacking American bombers by jihadists or American civilian aircraft and flying them in to large buildings as a suicide bomber can't happen anymore. It's impossible. I mean, all you had to do was one thing. Replace the cockpit doors with the Kevlar doors and keep them locked during the flight. That's all they had to do. They've done that. They did that within a month of 9/11. Over! You can't do that anymore. It's now impossible. So, we're just wasting our time here. And the fact is, if we just let them alone, if we allowed them to go kill one another, because all the Islamic State existed for prior to America bombing it was to attack and kill Shia Muslims. So what do we care? Why do we care? Because we took Iraq away from a secular dictator and gave it to Iran to manage as they please through the Ayatollah al-Sistani and Sadr, and that because of our stupidity in giving Iraq to Iran and then arming the Shias in Iran to the max and creating a civil war in Iraq between Sunnis and Shias and turning it into a terrorist hellhole, that all of a sudden we're concerned that Sunnis are now killing Shias in addition to Shias using American weapons to kill Sunnis? We don't have a reason to engage. Disengage. Stop providing weapons. Stop declaring war. Stop flying the drones and the bombers. Leave them alone. Quarantine them. Disengage. It's not difficult. You don't need James Clapper to have sound intelligence. You don't need a briefing paper that spells it all out for you. You don't need a Pentagon. You don't need to spend $1 trillion a year between spying and Veterans Administration for post-traumatic stress syndrome. And along with your military apparatus, which is larger than any country in the world, in fact, larger than the rest of the world combined, you don't need that. You don't need to go and spy and encroach the privacy of every American to know that it's that simple. Islam is a horrible disease. It has poisoned and corrupted and destroyed everything that has touched for 1,400 years. We can't fix it. The problem isn't an extremist interpretation or a radical interpretation of Islam. It's just Islam. Read the first 9 surahs of the Quran. Read the biography of Muhammad. It's called The Life of Muhammad. Ghulam is the translator, published by Oxford Press. Just read it. Read Prophet of Doom, which takes the biography of Muhammad and uses it to order the Quran chronologically and set it into the context of Muhammad's life. Read it. Come to understand the absolute, undeniable truth that Islam is a declaration of war on all humankind. That it is a horrible cancer, that it has destroyed everything that it's touched, that it cannot be fixed, that like Ebola, it must be quarantined if we have any hope of survival. Islamic State militants are advancing on a Syrian town of Kobane, where they are battling Kurdish fighters. The clashes are visible from the Turkish border, where protesters have stormed a border fence to go to defend the town, the Kurds have. Earlier, the U.S. said that it had destroyed 4 tanks and damaged another during the 4th night of the bombardments in Syria. Pretty amazing that the U.S. is destroying tanks. Whose tanks are they destroying? Are they Russian-made tanks that were captured from the Syrian army? Are they American-made tanks that were captured from the Iraqi army? The UK Parliament has voted to conduct airstrikes against the Islamic State, but only in Iraq and not in Syria. And Belgium, one of the world's superpowers, and Denmark have also announced they will take part in the operation. Oh, boy. Yeah, big militaries there. I bet the Islamic State is shaking in their boots. The Islamic State, this article says, controls northeastern Syria. And earlier, they seized large swaths in territory in neighboring Iraq, including, and they continue to control Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq. The Europeans now are wary of bombing Syria, as the government there has not asked for foreign assistance against the Islamic State like Iraq has. Yeah, it's absolutely opposed to international law. The United States is acting in a wholly belligerent fashion in total conflict with international norms. The abominator gave up and said, you know, we have a new playbook. Can't play by the rules of the last century. We've got to have a new playbook. You know, this is kind of like Paul saying, we can't play by that Torah. We've got to have a new playbook. We're going to have a new testament for a new time. That's what the Obaminator. Those rules of the past, they don't apply to us, but we need new rules, and I guess he thinks that he is going to be the supreme dictator of those rules. Islamic fighters have besieged Kobane, leading some 440,000 people to flee into Turkey. Pretty amazing. If the Islamic State is only 20 to 30,000 fighters, then they control some 10 major cities and some 100 villages in Iraq, some 5 or 6 major cities and 100 or so villages in Syria, that they can do all of that and attack a city along the Turkish border in Syria and cause 140,000 people to flee. Something is wrong with somebody's math. However, someone Friday tried to return to help stem the militants' advance, and Turkish security forces fired tear gas and water cannons to stop them. During the fighting for Kobane, at least 2 shells landed on Turkish territory. One man watching the battle from the Turkish side of the border asked why the airstrikes were not being conducted to defend the town, which has a population of 400,000. Where is America? Where is England? Why are people not helping? Why is it America's job? Why is it the UK's job to help? It's a Muslim-on-Muslim fight. This is a quote from another article. As we look to the future, one issue risks a cycle of conflict. This is now from the Obaminator's speech. That could derail our progress, and that is the cancer of violent extremism that has so ravaged many parts of the Muslim world. Now, in a moment, we're going to return to his speech, because it is essential that we understand why he uses the term violent extremism and why he has pitted violent extremism as a foe of the Muslim world as opposed to a product of the Islamic world. But speaking of Islam, on our program on Friday, there was a brief mention by Larry that a man in Oklahoma beheaded a woman and wounded another after being fired from his job. Now, most people can't even stab somebody to death, much less behead them. I mean, the violence associated, the inhumanity of cutting off someone's head is way beyond most humans. But Alton Nolan, who's 30 years old, attacked 2 women at Vaughn Foods at her distribution plant in Moore, Oklahoma, because he was a Muslim. A manager, who is also a reserve police, stopped the attack by shooting Nolan. A police spokesman has said that the FBI was investigating Mr. Nolan's background after colleagues said he had recently tried to convert workers in the plant to Islam. Yes, it is Islam that turned Mr. Nolan into a savage. It's what it does to Muslims worldwide. Nolan, the recent convert to Islam, is said to be in stable condition after being shot. Investigators told us that Nolan had recently converted to Islam. So he went from being a bad boy, he was a criminal, which is why Islam appealed to him, to being a beheading, decapitating murderer after converting to Islam. He had tried to convince employees to convert to Islam as well. According to the Oklahoma Department of Corrections website, Nolan has a criminal history dating back to 2006, which is what made Islam so appealing to him. There's very few religions where pedophilia is considered a religious act, where rape is condoned, where kidnapping is approved, where the slave trade is a religious endeavor, where terrorism is celebrated, where murder is considered appropriate. So it was very appealing to religion, to Mr. Nolan. He was imprisoned from April of 2011 to March 2013, whereas He probably converted to Islam. The Department of Correction described Nolan as having several tattoos, including a picture of Jesus Christ. Now, how could you have a picture of Jesus Christ? First of all, there was no Jesus Christ. And second of all, absolutely no one knows what he looked like. And that's by design. That picture of Jesus Christ was on his chest, praying hands on his arm, and an inscription on his abdomen that says in Arabic, the greeting that Muslims repeat when they meet one another, peace be unto you. That's kind of funny. That religion of terror says, may peace be unto you. Well, Islam strikes again. This follow-up, because people just don't want to deal with the fact that he became a decapitating murderer because he converted to Islam. So they want to tie it to someone else, and now they're tying it to a dead man. An imam known ties to former al-Qaeda mastermind Anwar al-Awlaki appears to have influenced the life of Alton Nolan, the former Von Foods employee accused of beheading a woman in Moore, Oklahoma. FBI documents show that Sahib Webb, who was once the leader of the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma City, had ties to the radical American cleric al-Awlaki. Al-Awlaki was murdered by the U.S. in a drone strike in Yemen, along with his son, in September of 2011. So here's the head, the leader of the Islamic Society of Greater Oklahoma City, who was a devotee of a man who has a cleric in Islam, al-Awlaki, encouraged Muslims to kill Americans, to terrorize them. And he was the head of the Islamic City of Greater Oklahoma City. Folks, the reason that we need to quarantine Islam, the reason we need to declare Islam illegal, is because it's murderous, and because if we don't, we're being merciless to its victims. On September 9th, 2001, this Oklahoma cleric, the leader of the Oklahoma Islamic Society, spoke at a fundraiser with al-Awlaki with hopes to raise funds for an Atlanta-based H. Rapp Brown, a man that shot and killed two police officers in the name of Islam. Mr. Webb now serves as an imam at a mosque in Boston, once attended by the accused Boston Marathon bombers. Yes, that was the mosque where, you know, the imam said, no, we're just peaceful and loving here. We don't preach jihad. We don't preach terrorism. No, we're just loving and peaceful Muslims here. Those Shanarev brothers, they were outsiders. They were outcasts here. We're not like them. And here's this same imam who not only influenced Nolan to convert to Islam, but to behead an innocent woman, stab another woman. But then he moves on from Oklahoma to Boston, where he manages to influence two more Muslims to blow off the legs and arms and murder innocent women and participants in a race. Islam is savage. And the more Islamic a person is, the imams, the clerics, the preachers, the serious students of Islam, the more devoted a person is to Islam, the more reprehensible they will be. For me, it was an affirmation of something I've said for a long time, that America has made patriotism a religion. One of the F-22 Raptors used in Tuesday's airstrikes in Syria, brought an extra passenger along, sitting in the lap of the pilot, actually photographed in the air, leading the mission. And in the pilot's lap was a folded American flag. The U.S. Air Force released the photo of one of its pilots with the flag in the cockpit. The picture was taken by a KC-135 Strato tanker refueling the aircraft. Yes, indeed. It is the American patriotic religious icon. We kill in the name of that image. As an update on what's happening in West Africa, the death toll from Ebola in West Africa has now passed 3,000, according to the World Health Organization. The latest figures indicate that more than 6,500 people have been infected with the disease. Liberia is the worst affected country, having recorded around 1,830 deaths, a little over half. The outbreak is the world's most deadly. The President of the United States has called it a threat to global security. No, it's not. But if you want to make it a threat to global security, one way to do it is to fly airplanes full of infected Ebola patients back into the United States, which is what America is doing, and to send 3,000 American military personnel into Liberia, where they will, many will contract the disease. Studies have warned that the numbers of infected could rise to more than 20,000 by early November. I want to return to the Obaminator's speech to the United Nations. It was so extraordinarily telling. It revealed that when it comes to Islam, he is an avowed liar. It reveals that he is devoted to a new world order. And it also expresses the fact that he doesn't want to adhere to any societal norms of the last century, that he wants to blaze an entirely new construct. That construct will be totalitarian, a blend of fascism and communism and socialism. It will embrace secular humanism, and it, of course, will use the environment as a means to subjugate all productive people and redistribute wealth so that it impoverishes everyone. It will be Dichronian. It will be absolutely hostile to freedom, to prosperity. It will have its economy run by someone who has never worked in a business in their life. It will have the military managed by someone who has never faced a military command decision. It will be a world where inhumanity reigns, where lies prevail, where freedom ceases to exist, and prosperity vanishes. If you want to know what hell is going to be like, understand the world that Barack Hussein Obama wants to impose. He said, "Oh, of course, terrorism is not new." Speaking before this assembly, President Kennedy put it well, terror is not a new weapon. He said, throughout history, it has been used by those who could not prevail, either by persuasion or by example. In the 20th century, terror was used by all manner of groups who failed to come to power through public support. What he wants to sidestep here is the reality that Islam is responsible for 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts. When you have a correlation that's in the 70%, 80% from a group that represents 20% of the world's population, the correlation is undeniable. But here the correlation is 99.9%. It's overwhelming. And yet what he wishes to do is, rather than address the reality that Islam and terrorism are now synonymous, is to say that terror is not new. Now, the United States engaged in terrorism in World War II. Engaged in terrorism in its civil war. Terrorism is not new, but there is something new. And that is that there is one religion responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts. If you don't deal with the religion, there is no way to combat terrorism today. That's what he wanted to sidestep. Then this also, this equivalency thing. And he's going to do this multiple times in his speech. And when you move into an equivalency issue, when there is no equivalency, you are being incredibly disingenuous, misleading, inappropriate. So what he said was, in the 20th century, terror was used by all manner of groups who failed to come to power through public support. Well, the fact is, it's really not true. It's really not true. Who? Name someone who used terror as their primary tactic who was trying to come to a position of political influence other than Muslims. Name them. You can't say the IRA because they used guerrilla tactics, and that was very different than terrorism, and they were insignificant. Who else? FARC? The primary purveyor of terrorism in the 20th century was the United States. And the United States didn't do it because it wanted to gain power without public support. So the whole premise here that he has established is misleading. He wants to disassociate terrorism from Islam and wants to convey the myth that there's lots of various groups that have engaged in terrorism. I mean, for example, there really is no such thing as a group that bombs the Planned Parenthood centers. There have been, a half a dozen bombings. I've killed four or five people. And but their Planned Parenthood doesn't have a group that is adverse to it that engages in terrorism, just a handful of wackos. That doesn't count. They're not trying to gain power. The United States used terrorism, of course, in Japan and Germany to win those wars, to, you know, burn, incinerate women and children to the point where the men would be unwilling to fight. But the IRA was simply attacking the British mechanisms of control, police, judicial appointees, and military. It's not terrorism. And the number of deaths were insignificant compared to what we're witnessing today. Yet FARC down there in Colombia was a socialist group, communist group, and it engaged in some acts of terror. But its terror was perpetrated by those that were in the judicial system, and it didn't do so for public support to power through without public support. It did so just because it was trying to maintain its sales of narcotics to America. There really isn't an example. And folks, I've spent the time. I've devoted hundreds upon hundreds of hours researching this. I actually wrote a book called The Islamic Terrorism Timeline, where I chronicled every terrorist event that took place in the world that was recorded by some news media, some journalist, every terrorist event chronicled in the media between 1960, which is the point where OPEC was beginning to fund fundamentalist Islam, and terrorism raised its ugly head, mostly and then initially through the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and its derivatives, and then through others. 1960 through 2004, I think, is what I ended the Islamic terrorism timeline. And what I found is that there was a period of time early on where there were isolated one-offs of terrorism, and that Islam was responsible for about half the world's terrorist acts and the rest of the various socialist organizations the remainder. But by the time we reached 2004, it was 99% Islam. And that's where we are today, maybe 99.9. So the President of the United States wants you to disassociate Islam from the most revealing characteristic, that it is responsible for 99.9% of today's terrorist acts. So he wants to have this relative equivalency when there is none. And this is an absolute, total and complete lie. And it's not a harmless lie. It's a lie designed to artificially isolate Islam from terrorism when they are one and the same. Terrorism today is Islamic. And he says, but in this century, we have faced a more lethal and ideological brand of terrorists who have perverted one of the world's great religions. Well, that perverted and great are amongst the most disingenuous, most counterproductive, most inappropriate statements ever made in a world forum. Islam is only a great religion in the sense that religions are all rotten. Islam has never been responsible for anything that is great. It has been an enormously destructive force. It terrorized Arabia when it was created. It spewed out of an Arabia that was terrorized to terrorize the Persians and the folks in India. And then it terrorized the Byzantines, and then it terrorized the rest of the Middle East. And it terrorized Northern Africa, and it was moving through the Balkans into Europe, terrorizing everyone, every place that it went, with a river of blood flowing from the mouth of Muhammad. It has never been great.